Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Shamita Basu. Although not as many children seem to be getting gravely ill from the coronavirus, they aren't immune to the psychological effects of the crisis. But systemic racism and inequality is making this pandemic even more difficult for kids in marginalized communities.
Increased racism involves things such as worrying about one's physical safety when wearing a mask, which is a highly relevant concern for Black communities, or the lack of resources, for example, poor quality health care for poor families, or no health care for undocumented immigrants, or educational inequalities, including whether a family has a device or even a quiet, dedicated space for successful homeschooling or an adult in the home who is able to facilitate homeschooling.
That's Carissa Chia, a professor of psychology at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. But all of the kids in our lives are being psychologically affected by this experience. To help us understand this and what we can do to make this a little easier for them, I spoke with Carissa along with Robin Gerwich, a psychologist and professor at Duke University Medical Center, specializing in children and families. I first asked Robin to explain what we know from past events like September 11th and Hurricane Katrina about how young people are affected by crises.
So when children are overly stressed, it impacts their behaviors. So you're going to see some behavior changes. It's going to affect their emotions. And so there's a whole range of emotions. It's going to affect how their bodies feel. So they may have more headaches or stomach aches. What many people are probably seeing now with COVID-19 in terms of behavior, depending on the age, younger children may be more clingy and more needy than usual, have more temper tantrums and meltdowns. As children get older, you may notice that they become a little bit more irritable. They may have a harder time with focus and concentration, and even being able to remember chores that they would normally be doing without any problems. So there's a whole range that we will see in children who are feeling incredibly stressed.
And now that we're a few months into this pandemic, some parents have probably started to talk with their kids about what's going on. Should they be doing that? Should they keep doing that? What kind of guidance do you have for them?
The answer, honestly, from everything we know, is absolutely we need to talk to our children, even our young children. And that's sometimes a hard conversation because as adults, we may have our own stress and distress with this. So the conversation can be as simple as, we've been staying at home because of coronavirus. There's been a lot of talk about COVID. Tell me what you think about this. That gives adults an idea of where their children or teenagers are starting from. What do they know? So it allows us to correct misinformation and misperceptions. Then follow that honestly with, how is this making you feel? And you will see anything from, I love being home with you all the time, from your four-year-olds, all the way up to feelings of worry and anxiety and stress.
How do you tackle the uncertainty of this moment, of the timeline, of what comes next?
That is what makes COVID-19 very unique. We don't have a timeline. I can't tell you on June 21st, everything will be great. I wish I could. So I think the best thing we can do is when we talk to our children, we can let them know. Things are changing, and if big things change, I'll make sure I let you know. For now, here's what we're doing. Here's what's happening in our family. Here's what's happening in our community. But also give children a way that they can do something. That's also important to children's resilience. It may be as simple as helping to prepare a meal for the family, or if you're baking, to deliver a door drop of cookies to a neighbor next door. Children may have lots of different ways that they may want to contribute to helping, and it's important to listen to their ideas and support that.
Carissa, we've talked on this program about the stresses that parents are facing right now. What do we know about what parents might be inadvertently passing on to their kids, especially after being isolated and at home together?
children look to parents for signs of whether they should be anxious, they should be fearful, whether they should be distressed. And so an important thing that we try to tell parents is also like how you're managing yourself and your stress is sometimes a model for how children might be doing the same, might be coping with that as well. You can have this indirect way through children looking to parents for different strategies and approaches. But also, if parents are anxious and stressed, they might be more likely to create a stressful home climate or environment that's maybe more chaotic, maybe less structured than what children need to thrive on. And so there are those ways as well. And, you know, for some parents, maybe they're watching a lot of news and, you know, needing to feel as if they need a lot of information in order to keep up with things, but not being conscious that children might be also hearing and listening to these things, to, you know, news and numbers in the way that they can't process.
I know that you have been looking into how minority communities might be impacted more acutely by trauma at a time like this. What are you learning?
One of the projects I'm working on focuses on the increase in xenophobia and racism targeting Asian Americans broadly. The particular project focuses on Chinese Americans, but we know that anyone who appears as if they might be associated with an Asian background is being targeted as well during this period. In some early preliminary findings from my study, I find that over 80% of the children aged 10 to 18 report having either experienced or witnessed online acts of discrimination targeting themselves or others of their same race or ethnicity since
COVID. You said 80%.
Yes, witnessed at least one instance and some, you know, multiple more than that. This is, I think, the first set of data that's showing, you know, from children's report within COVID-19 of acts of, you know, witnessing or experiencing discrimination. And it is, on the one hand, not surprising because people have been talking about it. On the other hand, it's quite distressing, obviously.
So what can parents and loving adults in the lives of these children who are witnessing and feeling the effects of discrimination, what can adults in their lives talk to them about? What would be helpful?
Sometimes, you know, parents wanting to protect their children might avoid discussing issues, particularly issues about race and race relations in the U.S., which for many parents are, you know, is an uncomfortable topic for them themselves, in particular if they are, let's say, first-generation immigrants and don't themselves have or believe that they have a good understanding of these issues. And so some parents might want to protect children and say that, well, if we just, you know, keep our heads down, work hard, just focus on what needs to be done, that's the best approach. But the research consistently shows that talking to children, so engaging in what we call racial, ethnic, or cultural socialization, appears to have a lot of benefits for children. And so this broader construct of cultural socialization includes talking to children about their culture and, you know, sort of their history, which has been shown to increase ethnic racial pride in children, which is a protective factor. But there are other aspects that include preparing children for bias, preparing children for the discrimination that they will inevitably experience in their lives. It also includes more direct discussions about it. And so we tell parents that, especially in a situation like this where we see that children, you know, over 80% are witnessing some forms of discrimination or xenophobia, that proactively engaging children at a developmentally appropriate level about what they might experience, about what might be going on, but also importantly, making sure that they have the tools in order to address some of this. So what they should do if this happened to them, rather than just increasing their vigilance and anxiety, you know, without giving them a sense that they might have some control over what they should do if this ever happened to them or if they've witnessed it happening to someone else they care about.
As we go through this, one of the questions for caring and loving adults to ask themselves is, what's one value, what's some beliefs that we hope to foster and instill or grow in our children? Because while there is the xenophobia and the racism with Asian Americans, we're also seeing it toward African Americans, and anti-Semitism is on the rise. So what's one value that you want to leave your children with that they can learn from this? How do we practice kindness towards each other? How do we make sure that, what do I do if I see somebody saying something mean about one of my friends? So as parents talk about difficult topics, you're also setting incredible groundwork. If my mom, dad, grandma, whoever that loving, caring adult is for them, is willing to talk about the difficult topics now, whether it's COVID, whether it's racism, other things, because they're talking to me about it and they're encouraging me to ask questions or tell them my experiences, you're setting the groundwork that I can come back later, whether it's peer pressure or whether it's bullying or whether it is other kinds of intense feelings of disappointment. I can talk to my caring adult because they will talk about the tough stuff.
Robin Gerwich is a psychologist and professor at Duke University Medical Center specializing in children and families. And Carissa Chia is a professor of psychology at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.